Now, the sad story is we don't have a single code for tiny home. And the reason is it's on wheels. So you are partially vehicle and partially home. And we don't have yet a code that cover both situation.
Welcome to the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast, the show where you learn how to plan, build, and live the tiny lifestyle. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and this is episode 252 with Bill Taha. Bill Taha is the founder and president of PSE Consulting Engineers, and he is a structural engineer. In this conversation, we are talking all about tiny house foundations for both tiny houses on wheels and stationary tiny houses. Bill has put together a really helpful presentation, which you can find on the show notes episode for this page at thetinyhouse.net/252. If you've ever wondered the proper and safe way to anchor a tiny house on wheels to the ground, or more affordable ways that you can build a stationary tiny house, I highly recommend listening to this interview. I learned a ton, and I know you will too. Do you seriously want to live in a tiny house? If you're getting real about your tiny house journey, then what you need is support and accountability. My online community, Tiny House Engage, provides just that, connecting you with tiny house dreamers, people who are building their own tiny houses, and people who are currently living tiny, to provide you with support and accountability on every step of your journey. Over the past few weeks on the podcast, you've actually met some Tiny House Engage members. Last week, you met Kate Bond, who got a shell from her builder and with the help of a plumber and friends, completed her tiny house in 10 months. Kate is a Tiny House Engage member and has been posting throughout her journey and providing really helpful tips to others who are following the same path as her. You also met Bill Knapp, the retired teacher who is currently building his DIY tiny house on wheels with metal studs. Bill put together an awesome presentation on his tiny house journey, and he is a regular active member of Tiny House Engage, helping people out with questions about construction, about design, and about maintenance. Tiny House Engage registration is opening this coming Tuesday. Head over to thetinyhouse.net/engage to learn more and get on the waiting list so you can register as soon as it opens up. Kate and Bill are just two of many helpful tiny housers that you'll meet in Tiny House Engage. We're excited to meet you, learn about your journey, and help you out however we can. Again, that website is thetinyhouse.net/engage. We can't wait to meet you. I am here with Bill Taha. Bill is the founder and president of PSE Consulting Engineers Incorporated, the structural design of modular tiny homes on wheels and economical permanent foundation options is what he specializes in. And today, Bill is actually going to be giving a presentation on the structural design of modular tiny homes on wheels. Members of Tiny House Engage are able to stream this presentation live and ask questions. If you are listening on the podcast, I suggest heading over to the show notes page for this episode, which I'll say in a little bit, and you can view the slides that Bill is talking about, and we'll also share the video for this one so that you can see it and hear it at the same time. But if you're in the car, if you're listening that way, that's totally fine. I will try to describe what I'm seeing as best I can. But Bill Taha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ethan, and thank you for inviting me to speak, and thank you guys for sharing your afternoon with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to share with you nice information about tiny homes. Tiny homes is spreading all over the world, not only in the state, And we definitely, I would like to join the movement because it does make sense. So the presentation will take about 40 minutes. And definitely, Ethan and I will be also discussing any points as we go along. Mm-hmm. So if I go there and I move, we're going to discuss what's a tiny house and what's not a tiny house. And we're going to discuss the criteria for chassis design. Mm-hmm. And we're going to also share with you guys foundation option, which one of them is the most economical for sure. The information Ethan and I will share with you is definitely great information, but if you use it without consulting with us, definitely you are on your own. So let you know. So many people sometimes change all the Volkswagen car or a small RV to be the tiny home, and this is not a tiny home. This is what it is. It is going to be a car or an RV or something like that. Some people refer to tree houses, which is beautiful. I've been in tree houses. Also, they call it tiny house. It is not a tiny house because it is high in the air and it's not a tiny house. Mm-hmm. Again, motorhome and RV are not a tiny house for safety reasons. This vehicle, like a motorhome and a tiny and RV, mm-hmm. are temporary use and cannot use as a permanent home. Of course, some people use it, but it is not the way it should be.
They might be tiny, but they're not tiny homes.
That's right. They might be tiny. I like that.
Okay.
And Ethan, Ethan, that's true. That is true. So what is a tiny house? Tiny house is a single unit dwelling with maximum area of 400 square foot. That is the definition of a tiny house. Now, most of the tiny house made on vehicle chassis, because people would like to move it, even though I would like to touch on the move, because many people move it a few times and then it's heavier than usual and sometimes take too much gas. So I don't want you to think as a tiny house on wheels as it is your RV. It's much bigger, heavier, and it could be moved, but not like an RV. So it's single space. Most of the time it is single space, so there's no rooms on it. While you can, but most of the time it's single space. And you could have a loft, while loft in a residential home has to have certain 7 foot minimum height. The loft on a tiny home could have less than 5 foot height for the loft. And the loft must be open to the rest of the space. Tiny house also must be tied to the ground. You cannot have the tiny house on wheels and say, that's it. No, it has to be tied to the ground for your safety. It's usually higher than an RV, and with wind and seismic, could move it, and it's unsafe without the tie-down. And this is a photo. I'm not sure if you can see it or not, but the interior of a tiny house showing the loft. And you can go to the loft with the ladder or stairs. Both of them are legal according to international residential code. And by the way, when we say international residential code, this is the American code. This other country use it. It doesn't mean that international coming from China. This is the American code.
Okay.
Yes. So this is on the screen right now showing sample of the tiny houses that we designed. It's nice. It's really, really, if you change your job or something, you can take it with you if you choose to. Mm-hmm. This is the high one, tiny home, and it has a big loft. And that one of them is really the top one is for a president of a tiny home company that we did for him in 2014.
Uh-huh. Right, that's the Andrew Morrison. That's the Morrison's home, yeah.
Excuse me, you nailed it, Ethan. You nailed it. That's right. His personal friend of mine. I was told that he retired now. I'm not sure. Maybe he
is. Yeah, they've kind of retired from the tiny house world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, right. Yeah. I'm going to give him a buzz, tell him come back. So I'll see if I succeed.
Yeah, I hope you do.
Okay, all right, right. Tiny house also, while most of tiny houses on wheels, you can also build a tiny house on foundation up front. So feel free, if that's your choice, people do it and it will work fine. On the screen right now, some tiny houses made from containers. Container also is like a wildfire right now. We use we use containers for tiny houses, offices, additional kitchen, additional bathroom, additional unit for your elder parents or in-laws. So it's used also as a tiny house for sure. Mm-hmm. The question I get the most, Ethan, is what code shall I use for designing a tiny home? Because most likely the building department will ask you, where is the engineering for it? Now, the sad story is we don't have a single code for a tiny home. And the reason is it's on wheels. So you are partially vehicle and partially home. And we don't have yet a code that cover both situation. While I'm going to have a share with you good news coming up. So the international building code, most of the time we use it for the tiny home. And again, the international is the American code. It's not came from China or India or something. It's just called international building code because the United States is the leader in specification and standard, and other countries use it as well.
Okay.
I would like most of the tiny home user also, please pay attention to the manufacturer of the home publication in your local building department. Some of the rules that we borrow, steal, or whatever you call it, from manufactured home because it's well established and we use it for tiny home, especially foundation. So it is advantageous if you would like to check with your local building department, what code do you guys have for manufactured home? It will not cover all everything in a tiny home, but it will give you a push in tiny home. The good news I want to share with everybody that ASTM, which is the American Standard Testing and Material, is working right now for developing a standard for tiny homes. I am a member of one of their committees, and coming up probably 6 months or so that we will have standard for tiny homes that cover the chassis and the wheels and the house itself. So that is really great news for all of us.
Yes, and I'll add that we had Janet Thome on the show. It's been a little while, so I should have her back to give us updates on that. But it's episode 181, so you can go to thetinyhouse.net/181 to hear that conversation if you're curious about the ASTM efforts.
Yes, Janet is a great, I mean, God bless her heart. She put tons of effort until she got it, and she was a winner. She's a survivor. Because many people opposed her, Ethan, and finally she won, and I'm proud of her.
Yeah, yeah.
So tiny houses could be done in a factory if you're in a hurry, which is, to be honest with you, a good idea that you buy it. It's already done. Instead of waiting for the electrician to show up one time and why not, and the plumber and all things, trust me, you don't want to go through that. The most funny or maybe nice ad I saw from a tiny home manufacturer that state, enjoy your home in weeks instead of waiting for it for a year. Very true statement. So there are many people who manufacture tiny homes. I am not one of them, so you don't think I'm selling you something right now. But if you can, it will save you a lot of time and headache. Mm-hmm. We can, most of the tiny homes, guys, are made from stick framing. But we can also build it from what we call structural insulated panels, which will give you great insulation, or we can build it from steel. Your old refrigerator and my old car usually melt it and become a coil, and from the coil, they can build anything, including a tiny house, especially if you are in a fire zone and you would like to have non-combustible. Remember, the building department does not come to save your property. The building, the fire department come and would like to save you and I as a human. But they care less about the property. I mean, they do their best, but they are there to save you, not your property. So if you'd like to save your property, the best thing that you can do to build from non-combustible material like steel. Now, many tiny houses, guys, come and they put framing underneath. And then on the chassis, so three component, the tiny house, floor system, and the chassis. This is one way to do it. And another way that we eliminate the floor and put the tiny house on the chassis directly, which is the most common. If you look here, you see that that's the chassis and the joist in the same level as the chassis beams. And that's the tiny house directly on the chassis. compared to the other one, as you can see, if you can see that photo, is you have the chassis and then you have 2x6 joists. Is part of the tiny home on it.
Man, both those ways. Those are going to be some cold floors. I don't see any insulation in there.
We removed it so we can show that the joist.
Okay.
I'm not telling the truth right now, but this is what I have. But yes, but there's two systems. But there are many manufacturer guys for tiny home chassis. It's different from tiny home from manufactured home, and usually it's made from tubes. And I'm going to tell you a secret here. The secret, when we design the chassis for tiny homes, we design it for almost double the weight, the empty weight of the tiny home. Now, I know you're going to accuse me of over-design, why it's double and blah, 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 blah. That's double for your safety. And also because when you drive it and you go through a pump or a rock or something in the road, that dynamic effect increases the weight. And we have to design for more than the actual weight to make sure that you are safe when you drive your tiny home.
Yeah. Okay.
There is a company that Janet also shared that with me, Ethan, that's called the American Tiny Home Trailers. And if you can see the screen, here is their website. Yep. It's at americantinyhouse.com. Yep. It will help you to pick a chassis from several on the market. So they are a good company, I was told.
Nice.
The chassis, as you can see from this photo, the chassis, if you're going to stage in a station, not moving it, it has to tie to the ground with what we call soil anchor. It's very, very simple. It's like a, Ethan, it's like a wood screw. You screw it into the wood. This one, you screw it into the ground. You screw it into the ground, it go to the ground, and it give you a hook at the top, and you tie your chassis beam to the soil anchor, and then you secure it from flipping. We highly emphasize that you need to tie your tiny house, because unfortunately you have bad examples of several houses that's not tied to the ground and it slid off the foundation and sometimes completely flipped in case of a high wind like in Florida or coastal area. So please tie your tiny house to the ground with soil anchors.
Now, what do you use to go from the soil anchor to the chassis? Is that like a metal cable? What is the material there?
We use, Ethan, we usually what we call tie down. And in the photo, next photo I'm showing right now, you see some tiny down, this kind of a strap. Okay. And the strap wrap around the chassis beam and go down. It's hooked to the hook from the soil anchor. And here is the connection between the tiny house and the soil. Anchor the soil into the soil so the house will be stable.
Okay.
I'm going to share with you also how many usually needed. But the cheapest one, guys, if you would like, after you got your tiny house, you would like to build it on stable foundation, is the stack of concrete blocks. We stack concrete blocks at 6 to 8 foot under the chassis beam and under the perimeter of the house. Mm-hmm. And that will give you stability for the vertical load. So now you have a house that's stable for vertical load, but now, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ethan.
Sorry, is that on top of a poured like concrete pad?
It could be concrete pad, Ethan, or it could be fiberglass blocks or pads. I'm going to share with you coming up.
Okay.
Slab, usually we use it for manufactured home, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But for tiny home, I would say concrete pads or fiberglass pads would be reasonable.
Okay.
So you can take it with you, to be honest. It could be also carried with you if you want to. Here's the strap. Ethan, I'm not sure if all of you guys see the screen, but is the strap about 1.5 inch wide and the gauge 16 or 14. And it wrap around the chassis beam because you can't do that. There is a space you can slide it in. And you grab it down and you either connect it to a soil anchor or to any slab or something that you have, most likely for tiny home, will be to a soil anchor. As you see from the screen, guys, if you can see it, that would be great. But in general, we use a tie down each side of the tiny house at 10 foot on center. So you start from the beginning, you have two, one each side of the house of the tie down anchor to a soil anchor, 10 foot, two more, 2 foot, at 10 foot, two more, and so on. Also, you have Now you tied the house in the shorter direction. So we're not going to move in the shorter direction, hopefully. Uh-huh. Now you need to tie it also for long direction. So the house does not roll along the length of the tiny house. So you uh-huh. add additional tie down and the soil anchor in the long direction as well. So it has to be tied in both direction, shorter direction and long direction. If you can see the screen, I'm showing the two perpendicular direction of the tie down. Uh-huh. So just make sure that you tie down the house in two perpendicular direction. This is what you see in the screen is the soil anchor, as I shared with you. It's like a screw kind of from this area. You screw it, literally screw it until you get the good anchor to the soil. And it has a loop in the top so you can tie your tie down to it so you can make sure that the house is tied and safe for you.
Okay. Is this something that the homeowner can kind of do themselves? You know, can buy these tie downs and put them in themselves?
I saw many people get them from a manufacturer home because it's used for manufacturer home as well. Yeah. And then they hire some contractor to do it. If you are a contractor, you can do it. God bless your heart. But if you hire somebody who knows and done it before, I think that's a good idea.
You probably need a pretty powerful drill or something to get a 60-inch ground screw into the ground, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. As you can see, Ethan, now you can see that the strap is the tie down. So it's two pieces, the tie down and then the soil anchor. The tie down is wrapped around the chassis beam and connected to the soil anchor.
Yep.
Even here, you can see three pieces. It's the tie down, Ethan, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. a yoke or a piece of metal that connect this one to the soil anchor. And here yep. is the end of the soil anchor. To tie your tiny house. There are also many, many other systems, Ethan, in the market. I'm not going to go through it because we don't have time for it. But in addition to the tie down soil anchor and tie down, which is the most common and very effective, by the way, and cheap, there are other systems that you can buy to tie your tiny house to the ground. Just to check with any manufactured home. Because manufactured home and tiny house share the foundation together, same system. There is another system called Diamond Pier, if you would like to use it. I think the tie down and soil anchor is stronger, but you have options. It's not like you're stuck with one system. Mm-hmm. And instead of the stack of concrete blocks to support the house for vertical loads, guys, there is also steel piers. Instead of the concrete piers, you have steel piers. If you can see the screen, it is there on the screen.
Yep.
And it's doable. I mean, there are several options. And as I shared with you, Ethan, a little while ago, the stack of blocks or the steel piers could be put on concrete pads that you can take with you if you move.
Right.
This one a little bit on the thick side. There is also 2 inches that people use. And also you can use fiberglass pads, as you can see here, below the steel or the concrete block piers.
Interesting. So what would prevent those from sinking into the ground?
That's a very good question, Ethan. Thank you for asking for this one. Definitely, if you are in a soft soil, it will sink. But most of the people throw some rock or some compacted good soil below the pads so it doesn't sink. But yes, especially in a wet area, Ethan, even if you have hard soil, sometimes with the water, with the moist, it can sink.
Okay.
So make sure that you put the pads on a firm foundation. The same apply also, Nathan, for the soil anchor. If you anchor the soil anchor into a wet soil, it's not going to hold much, and you have mm-hmm. to use longer soil anchor until you go to firm soil. So water could be an issue for sure.
Uh-huh.
If you choose to build your tiny home and then have permanent foundation, like as I shared with you, one of the uh-huh. president of one of the companies, you could create foundations similar to the regular homes. It could be concrete, it could be wood, as you can see on the screen here, or it could be also masonry that if you decided you are not going to move the house anymore. There is a very wonderful publication. It is free. You can get it from HUD.gov, and it's called the Permanent Foundation Guide for Manufactured Home. As I shared with you, can we steal and adopt from manufactured home? Absolutely, yes. Nobody's going to stop you as long as you're doing the safe thing. So that publication, you can get it for free from HUD.gov. And this is only for the foundation. It's not for the manufactured home itself. Again, we thank you. Oh, we even finished earlier than we anticipated because Ethan did not ask me tough questions. He was nice today, so he only asked easy questions. But I am done with the presentation, and I'm open for any question that you guys have.
Well, awesome. I will say that to the chat. If you have any questions for Bill about, you know, the structural engineering aspects of tiny house on foundation or on a tiny house on trailer. I actually had a couple of questions. I'm back when you were talking about the different options for putting a tiny house on a trailer, and you talked about either, you know, framing a 2x4 or 2x6 floor and putting that on top of the trailer, or setting your floor essentially into the trailer.
Yes.
I know that there have been some issues that people have had with thermal bridging, particularly when they build their house, that when the floor system is inside of the trailer and then their floors extend over the flange of the trailer, they get a very cold spot right there because it's subfloor directly on top of the flange.
Yes.
And, you know, in the Northeast where I am, or a cold climate, that can really create some moisture issues. I'm curious if you can speak to, you know, some ways that you have mitigated the thermal issues between that cold metal trailer or chassis and then the floor itself.
Yeah, to be honest with you, usually we use insulation, Ethan, and also we wrap the bottom of the tiny home. So yes, there is a way is to, and you caught me when I showed this this photo, Ethan, you said about the insulation. Yes.
Yeah.
So insulation and wrapping paper, that definitely will help. And if you also have the skirting, if you are going to stop the manufactured home, park it, and you can have a skirting. And the skirting sometimes could be vinyl, just to stop the air from coming in.
Yeah.
That definitely will help. And I just would like to share with you that even if you have vinyl skirting, usually what also pierce at the perimeter of the house for additional support.
Okay.
But it definitely is an issue, especially for cold areas. I agree.
Okay. Another question for you, if I may. So this one, let me think. I just had it in my head. Oh, yes. So in the example of somebody who is, you know, has a tiny house on a trailer and they're moving around somewhat frequently, say every few months. And, you know, they don't necessarily have the opportunity to do much site work, you know, and they're just parking their tiny house in somebody's backyard, you know, on ground that is not necessarily stable. Any thoughts on, you know, because you mentioned those fiberglass pads that can be taken with you. Any thoughts on how to stabilize a house just temporarily, you know, without doing a ton of site work?
Again, to be honest with you, Ethan, I'm going to go back to the soil anchor, because the soil anchor, you can even take it with you again, or you just leave it and go.
Yeah.
So the tiny, the concrete or steel piers along with the soil anchor is my choice. Now, my sister lives sometimes in an RV in our home, but the RV, our RV tucked behind the house. So it's away from the windy area.
Yeah.
So that's another thing you can, something you can think of if you're parking your tiny house for a short period of time.
Yeah.
That don't put it in the open area. Just tuck it behind another house so that the permanent house, the house with the foundation, can take the wind off the tiny house. That would be a good option too if you are parking for short period of time.
Okay. Okay. Do Do you know of any foundation system that would essentially allow a tiny house that could be moved, you know, something that's on skids, so you could, but that doesn't have a trailer attached to it? Like, yeah. You know, I'm envisioning, you know, a building that a big flatbed truck could winch onto its flatbed and bring somewhere else. What would a foundation look like for that kind of building?
That's a good question. A foundation for this one to be, then we don't have the chassis, right? We don't have the chassis.
So, no chassis, right.
No chassis. So that could be, to be honest with you, if temporary, I will say railroad ties, you put it on the ground, and then you put your house on the railroad ties. Mm-hmm. And then if it's going to park it for a long period of time, then you have to tie it as well, because the house could slide, even though it's unlikely, but theoretically it could. And as an engineer, I have to share with you, it could slide as well.
Okay, so you still want to anchor it.
You still want to anchor it. If it is an entire railroad ties in the ground, the chance of flipping or tilting is less likely, because it's very close to the ground. So you're a little bit on the safer side compared to your chassis and wheels.
Okay.
But railroad tires and some gravel probably broke before you bought the railroad tires will do good. But again, my recommendation that you add some tie down and soil anchor as well.
Okay. Now, in the photo that you're showing here, this is the one that I made the joke about, that the floors would be cold because I don't see any insulation.
Yes.
I'm curious, and this is actually a question from a Tiny House Engage member in the chat, Joe. Noticing that the floor framing isn't pressure treated, and is there any worry about rot where the wood is in contact with the chassis?
That is really a very good question. Condensation on the steel is true, and it does happen. And I would put building paper or moisture barrier on the top of the steel chassis.
Okay.
Ethan, that's a very good point. And also, if you are closer than or less than 18 inches to the dirt, then the joist itself has to be pressure treated.
Okay.
So if you are above 18 inches away from the dirt, then the joist can be a regular joist, not pressure treated, but you put a moisture barrier between the steel and the wood. That's excellent, a good idea. So okay. Be careful. If you're lower than that, the joist itself has to be pressure treated.
Okay.
And that's a good.
And how do you recommend securing the framing to the chassis?
That is another good question. Now we are getting to the tougher one, mister.
Yeah. I wasn't going to let you off that easy.
All right.
Not often that I get to talk to a structural engineer, so I'm going to just keep them going.
Well, Ethan, thank you for putting all of us together. You did a great job, and I'm proud of you, to be honest with you. Many people would love to have to tap into in the knowledge that you have. There are several methods, Ethan, to do that. There is a Simpson anchor angle that you can nail to the joist and then screw it or weld it to the top of the steel beam. There are leg screws. Some people do leg screw to the joist with a steel plate to grab the bottom of the top flange of the chassis.
Okay.
So there are many ways, but again, you caught it. The photo does not show this connection. Thank you. And also blocking between the joist that we can see, Ethan, right now, to stop it from flipping or turning aside.
Yeah.
So the mechanical anchor and the blocking usually will secure the joist to the chassis beam.
Got it. So, I want to ask you about, you know, the work that you do. You know, are you available to consult? You know, if somebody is out there, maybe they've designed their own tiny house and they want to, you know, make sure it passes muster and passes structural engineering. You know, is your company available to do consults for, you know, obviously for hire?
We do. We did, actually, Ethan, we did tons of them since 2014 when I, and Andrew, by the way, is a great guy. He introduced me to more than the tiny house.
Yeah.
We do design. We do a lot of it. We do it all over the country. design tiny house. But the problem with consultation, if somebody would like to have verbal consultation, then you could run into who he said, she said, blah, 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 and that could get me in trouble as a, and you know, I have a follow the rules of the license board, engineering license board. Right. So most of the time is going to be on a letter. So there is nothing called he said, she said, or on a drawing that will reduce and tell you, okay, here's the chassis drawing and here's the house drawing. Please build it according to the plan.
Right, right. I stamp this as long as you build it the way it's drawn.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it.
Because to be honest with you, I mean, I don't blame them. When I go to the fix my car, Ethan and the mechanic tell me, blah, 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 blah. It goes over my head. And I tell you, okay, fix whatever you said, have a potato or whatever it is, fix it. I don't know, I don't bother with it. So if you talk verbally to people, they may misunderstood you or misinterpret what you said. So usually we depend on consultation on a letter. We write down what we would like it to convey on most of the time on drawing.
Okay.
But we are open for business, yes. We'd love to team up with people. And we'd love to thank people for building a tiny home. Because tiny home is environmentally sound, and also it is a small unit, so your carbon footprint is small.
Yes.
So we should thank the people who build a tiny house and encourage them to continue.
So, and I will put in the show notes for this episode, by the way, which will be episode number 252. So, thetinyhouse.net/252 for all this. I'll put Bill's company's website. It's structureone.com. And I'm guessing you can get in touch with them there. But I had a question for you, Bill. This might be an interesting one. So
easy one or tough one?
Yeah, I don't know. You'll tell me. So if you, Bill, were going to live in a tiny house, what construction technique would it be? Would you do for your own personal house? Would you do SIPs, sticks, or steel? And would you do a trailer or a foundation?
It depends really on the where I'm going to build it or where I want to stay, Ethan. So if I'm in an area that has fire, like South California, for example, definitely going to be light gauge steel. If it is steel, not combustible, I have a peace of mind. Mm-hmm. If I am non-combustible, non-fire hazard area, definitely the cheapest will be stick framing. If I'm in cold weather, like you said, you're in Massachusetts, are you?
Vermont.
Vermont.
Colder than Massachusetts.
You're kidding me. I thought Massachusetts is the coldest. I have friends
of mine.
Okay. If you are in cold area, definitely SIPS will be, which is a structural insulated panel, would be the way to go because it has very high insulation value.
Yeah.
So it depends. If I'm acting cheap, like my wife say, claimed that I'm cheap, then stick framing will be the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And but by the way, don't try to change my wife's opinion that I'm a cheap guy because that's what she claimed. So that's it. She made up her mind.
I'll leave that between you.
Okay.
Well, Bill Taha, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I learned a lot and this was great.
Thank you so much. And we learned it from any other episode that you did, Ethan. So thank you for putting all us together. I'm really grateful for you and proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Bill Taha for being a guest on the show today. You can find the show notes, including a video version of today's podcast, so you can see Bill's presentation or just download it as a PDF over at thetinyhouse.net/252. Again, that's thetinyhouse.net/252. Also, don't forget to check out my online community, Tiny House Engage. Registration is opening on Tuesday at thetinyhouse.net/engage. If you go there before registration opens or anytime it's closed, you can sign up to be notified as soon as the doors open. Tiny House Engage is truly where I focus most of my time and energy when I'm not working on the show. I'm there interacting with tiny house hopefuls, providing support and answering questions, and just learning actually from all of our members. Registration opens Tuesday at thetinyhouse.net/engage. Well, that's all for the show this week. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and I'll be back next week with another episode of the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast.